Hello and welcome back to Lang Time Chat. This is episode 57, where we are going to be talking about the results of our a posteriori challenge that we had set out last month. Are you ready for this, David?
From episode 56, right.
From episode 56, and now it's episode 57.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Which also means I... when we upload documents for this, a lot of them are going to say episode 56 because that's where the document was from for the challenge. But this is the results.
Right, right, right.
Anyway, so welcome. Glad you're here. For anyone who is sort of just joining, maybe you don't remember last month's episode. Maybe you didn't listen to last month's episode. I'm going to do a little recap so that way you remember what the challenge was. And so as a reminder, the premise that I had set out was that there was a community of kangaroo rats that used to live with the mice. And so these are our, you know, Langtime mice. They're our beloved Wokuthiju speakers, and kangaroo rats used to live with them. However, these kangaroo rats left the mice over the course of the years, and they really left in three major waves. To form their own communities. And so this is the premise here, is that there were three different periods of the history of Wokuthiju where the kangaroo rats were leaving. So the very first group of kangaroo rats who left were very early on, when the language was still in its, you know, sort of proto forms. And these kangaroo rats were incredibly concerned with the increasing calls for committee-driven lives. They were like, no, thank you. And so they left before the committees took over. So very early, as you know from our mice, that had to happen super early. So this is group one, or in the form of the language as it would have been back then, Tsikmuf was what maybe that would have sounded like back then. So they left with what we had called Ananit in the Wokuthiju language, which is the primordial squeak, Ananit. The coda is still there because they haven't lost codas yet.
Right.
And so this is represented by the protoforms. And so that's where the starting point for anyone who chose to create a language for these particular kangaroo rats. For people who chose the group two kangaroo rats, group two left a little bit later. As the mice became more dependent on technology, some of the kangaroo rats felt a calling to live a more analog, nature-driven life. And so they left to do that. And so this is Tsicho, where we've got some tone introduced. Not all of it, not every syllable has tone quite yet, because we're kind of in a mid-stage of the language. And the name of the language at this mid-stage may have been something like Wau Wau Ko Tsiju Ko Tsiju. Ooh, good thing we had some of those sound changes in there after this stage.
Wau Ko Tsiju.
Exactly, as David says. So this is sort of a mid-stage of the language, smack dab in the middle of the coda loss, tone shift changes. And so they left with a bit of a different form as their starting point for group two. And then finally, group three, the final wave of kangaroo rats to leave. This happened when the battles broke out over Sovala. There were some peace-loving kangaroo rats who just couldn't take the lifestyle anymore. They didn't like the fighting, so they left to make their own battle-free oasis. When they left, Thili, group three, they left with the modern form of Wokuthiju, and so any developments from their language started with input from the modern forms, and then they went on to develop their own language.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was the challenge, should anyone choose to participate. You choose which group of kangaroo rats you want to be a part of, and you take the data that I gave you, which was 11 sentences. I kept saying 10 sentences, but it was really 11 sentences.
It's a baker's decem.
It's an almost
dozen.
But yeah, there were 11 sentences. And so everybody was working with the same data and turning it into their own form of the language based on where they left, where they broke off. So in other words, we were creating a giant family of languages. And what a family we ended with. It was delightful. So David and I obviously participated. But then we also had, I think, six patrons, if I'm five patrons. I have to recount. We'll count in a second on the next slide. But we had several people participating. I will say most of us chose the group ones. Most of us chose group one. Only one person chose group two. One person chose group three. And then Bubba submitted a form for every group. I stuck with group one of your work, Bubba, because it was the most complete. And because I read your document where you said that was the one that you like really had committed to at first until you fell in love with your group two work. But anyway, I stuck with group one because that was the one that you really filled out and like did all the numbers and everything.
Oh, I see my favorite already.
All right, so here we go. First, we're just going to talk about some words and how they changed. Because in these words that I'm just going to show you a couple of examples, I want to be able to highlight some of the sound changes that were chosen by people creating. If you're looking at the slideshow at this point, or if you're watching the video, you're going to see in the middle is our protoform kiuki, which means mouse. And so that's the proto mokutishu. And from there, all of the yellow entries that come directly from that protoform are from the group one entries. So those are group one kangaroo rats. They left very early. They don't create like a branch within it. What you'll see then branching towards Wokutiju is up in the corner. You'll see a pink branch going that way. Before it quite makes it to Wokutiju, you'll see that Miles did group two. So kind of followed along the path of development of what was Wokutiju, but then Miles's language broke off from there in group two. And then Sisa Linguagist did a group three language. So it was the only group three language that we had in the bunch. And so Miles is in orange for group two, and then pink is Wokuthiju and Sisa Linguagist. Those would be sister languages there. Okay, so anyway, we've got Uki as mouse. In Wokuthiju, in modern Wokuthiju, that comes out as Uki. Uki.
Uki.
There we go. It's just like, that's exactly what I said. Sisa Linguagist.
And this, by the way, this is when I said I already see my favorite. It's this.
Sisa Linguagists?
Yeah, easily.
Tweak.
Tweak.
It's so cute.
Tweak is a mouse because mouses squeak.
They tweak.
Tweak, squeak.
And so that was Sisa Linguagist. Miles had quite a few sound changes, even though, like, theoretically, you would think being group two, Miles's language would have come out closer to some of the modern things than some of the ones who broke off earlier. Miles had a lot of sound changes. And so cheat, high tone cheat, is the word for mouse in Miles's language.
Cheat, cheat, cheat.
Also appropriate. All right, so now let's get to all of these group one languages. We've got quite a few. And also you'll see that some of us chose to actually name our language, which happened here. So in Bubba's group one language, it came out as Tuki with a rising tone. I just did it that way to remind myself to do rising tone. And then high tone. So Tuki. Cheeky.
Cheeky.
There we go. That's much better. Actually, I guess I shouldn't be careful. I have to be careful because it's not an adjective.
It's not an adjective.
It's just cheeky.
You're right. Cheeky. Cheeky.
What are you trying
cheeky?
To? There you go.
Yeah. It's we really hard. It's really hard to not do an adjective once you're just so used to it.
We really want to put that there. But yeah, no adjective there in that one. So that was Bubba's, and Bubba's language was called...
His nasals?
Yes.
Nasal vowels.
Kansihlai.
Yeah.
And that literally breaks down into long tail, with tail being borrowed from Tapajla. And
They
so long tail. Because they went out.
because
They went out and wanted to meet other animal kingdoms. And so they ended up interacting and borrowing words from other kingdoms.
okay, I guess that their tails are a bit,
Longer than a mouse. Yes, they are. Don't you remember the epic tale on the kangaroo rat?
that's
Oh,
good.
I thought it was great stuff. All right. Next up, we have Jonathan's language, Ijicho. So that's a voice, gi, and then cho. Ijicho. And in Jonathan's language, mouse came out as an aspirated palatal stop. Ch, ch, ch. Chugi, chugi.
Chugi.
And so we've got that vowel too, the and it's
Yeah,
high tone and then
chugi.
low tone.
Chugi.
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 And so Jonathan's language, by the way, the name literally means second squeak of the many. It's
Huh.
the second squeak, not the first. And I love that, Jonathan. That was so perfect. Also, I think it was Jonathan. Oh, wait, was it Miles? Oh, no. One of you put in a sound change that was specifically called Jessification, and it was just so I'd be able to pronounce it. You know what? It was not Jonathan. It
That's a
was
good point.
Miles, and that's why Miles doesn't have any palatal stops. And I thank you, Miles. The Jessification rule took those away. And as I'm looking at Jonathan's, I'm like, of course that wasn't yours, because there's that aspirated palatal stop. Next up in my language, Wikaimage. It came out as Cheugi, and the name literally was, it was borrowed, a compound borrowed from Ingala, which meant mouse rabbit, because they're like little mice rabbits. And then each is language. And so, but yeah, so the form for mouse came out as Cheugi. I had some diphthongs in mine. In the Daedalus language,
No,
oops.
you just skipped right by it.
Scoops, you didn't have a name, so
I
I've.
well, you had a name for it.
Where? Oh, the Ananit.
Tsikmov.
Oh, that was just group one.
What?
That's literally group one.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Oh, I misunderstood that. My bad.
Anyway, David's language. It comes
Apparently,
out
it's called Tsikmov, which means group
group
one.
one.
That's right. They're like, we're out of here, and they said that we're group number one, and they called their language that. Sorry, I thought that was the name.
David did an aspirated affricate, ch, chiggy,
It's just like an English ch.
ch, chiggy,
Chiggy.
chiggy.
Chiggy. Chiggy.
I'm totally doing it.
You got it. It's just like English if it were Chiggy, but you held the I for longer. Chiggy.
Exactly. And what you'll notice here, and this is something that David did, and then coming up next,
And then.
David, Miles, and then Jake, whose formal we'll discuss next, took some of the rounding away from some of these forms, whereas the rest of
Oh.
us leaned into rounding. And so that was also another interesting thing that happened, was like looking at some of the vowel choices that we made. So not just what did we do with this initial ejective palatal stop in the protoform, but what did we do with the vowels? And you'll also see that Jonathan, David, and I all chose to make the K a voiced G in this form. So it comes out as G in the second syllable. And so that was something that you can kind of see some of us made some similar choices. And then David and I got rid of tone. As did Jake. Jake's language, Pananich, which literally breaks down to language of the dry nest or dry place. The word for mouse there is tepchi. And so that palatal ejective became alveolar. And then I forget some of the sound changes that you had introduced that left us with tepchi, with that P in the form.
Oh, so I'm guessing the W probably became something like a V and then an F and then a
Probably, and then a
fortified.
P. Yeah, in front of the ch. Anyway, but notice there the key is now chi. That was another shift that I think we see in some other ones. But yeah, so like that became a very different form too. And so all the way from Tuki to Chigi and Tepchi and Tweak, we've got all of these words for mouse. Another fun one that I thought was interesting was looking at the different forms for cherry or sorsa.
Now, we didn't have cherry on its own.
No, but I made some guesses of what I thought it would be, and David's going to tell me that I'm wrong on his form, and that's okay.
I think so, but go ahead and I'll double check here.
And I may be wrong too on Miles's was another one that I wasn't as sure. Some of us supplied little glossaries, and so I did have cherry on its own. Not all of us supplied glossaries, David. And so sorsa in the proto form became swaza in Wukutishu. In Xisa languages forms form it became sora. In Miles's language it became sosh. And then Bubba's we have saasa. In Jonathan's we have zoza. Mine we have soza. So very similar there with some of the voicing. And in Jake's it was shosha. Was cherry. And then what was yours, David? Because I have su, but like it may have had a final consonant before it got the k from the plural form.
Yeah, I just need to see what happened to sh. Because I know what happened to it before a consonant, but
Okay,
yeah,
so
I think it's just shouldn't it just be sush? Hold on a sec. Oh. Yeah, okay, right. And then
David's going through his sound changes right now to try to figure out what this form was.
no, you're right.
So,
Sir.
okay. And
Sir. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sir.
so David like lost, like quite a bit through the sound changes from the end part there where that second syllable ends up schmooshing.
I'm very sorry. I was remembering something specific, but then I forgot about what happened down the line that essentially made it look the same. So, yeah, you did have it right there.
And so, like,
In
this
the
is
group one language.
yay! Move. And so, this I think is really exciting because when you look at this or just hearing the different forms, like, it really this looks like a family of languages here. Like, it's just very cool.
Yeah,
It
it's
just makes
really
me so
cool.
happy because it's like this is a little conlang family.
Yeah, some of the ones that I like in particular, just kind of just looking at the forms here. One is the actual Wogotiji
Yeah.
form. And then there's this one. That's Jonathan's,
Jonathan,
right?
yeah.
Yeah. Because then I think the others are kind of like more explicable. It's really amazing to me that only one of these forms retains the R, and that's Xisa languages. Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's really so it's really neat to see across the board some of the sound changes and the ways that they affected the forms and the decisions that we made, and how much those decisions really affected the forms. But then, of course, we also made some grammatical decisions. And so that's where the rest of this is going to focus. What I did for this particular podcast. Is I broke apart the sentences into sets for like what I was trying to target when I put these 11 sentences together. And so if you look at the data for what we were all working with, the first three sentences are all variations of like the mouse is singing, but it's targeting number. So the mouse is singing. The two mice are singing because we have a dual form in Wukutishu, and then the mice, plural, three or more mice are singing. And so a couple of things that we were looking at here was did everyone choose to retain the dual? If so, what does that look like? And then also looking at whether people chose to keep that pluractional suffix, which was really a reduplication on the verb. And so that's what we're looking at here in particular. And so now for our data, this is all of the languages. I have a chart here with all of our languages with broken into columns of singular, dual, plural, and for those three sentences. So first and foremost, I'm just going to read these in Wokuthiju because then we have these modern forms. And then we're going to like dive in and look closer at some of the decisions. I won't be able to read all of them because there are, you know, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There were 5 patrons. There we go. 7 of us. And of course, with 3 each, that's 21 different sentences. So I won't be able to read every single one of them, but I do want to highlight some decisions that we made because there are some really cool things going on. All right. So in Wokuthiju, the mouse is singing. We get tukijala. When it's dual, we get tukiswa. We get the swa, which comes from cherry, of course, if you remember. And then jalala, because we get the reduplication of the final syllable. And I just absolutely love that for singing. And then the plural form. So when you're talking about 3 or more mice, we get tukivu, jalala. And so that's where Wokuthiju went. All right, so I'm going to highlight some of these areas. Because first and foremost, quite a few people chose to maintain a dual form.
Love it. I love even the dual form. It's even made from cherries.
From the early stages. David was one of them. If you heard him say that quietly,
it was just I think it was one of the most charming things we've ever come up with. This dual that was based on cherries.
Nice.
Like I didn't want to part from it.
And so, yeah, it shows up in a variety of ways, but you get, you know, like so or cho, zo, zu, you get some form that looks, you know, it obviously comes from those forms for cherry that we had discussed. And then Jake and I were the two that did away with the dual. Jake did like give an example where it's like you could put the number 2 in front of mice to be like specifically 2 mice are singing. But there's not actually a number distinction in Jake's form. And so depchi means mouse or mice. And so you actually can see that across Jake's examples where depchi dewa, or I have to get the inflection. The rising intonation is very important. So these arrows indicate rising intonation. Depchi dewa. And so that just means, you know, the mouse is singing. But if you want to say the mice are singing, you don't change the noun at all. You do that reduplicative pluractional suffix for tepchi de wawa. Isn't that fun?
Where does the rise start? Does it start at the second syllable of tepchi or does it start before de wawa?
And I know Jake wrote a lot of information about this and I feel like it was at in between the rise should go from the end of the noun into the verb. Yeah, like that. And the stress was often on a heavy syllable. And so like tepchi, and then otherwise it was on the penultimate if there was no heavy syllable.
Ichidewa.
And so, yeah, so that was Jake's. I feel like there was something else I was going to say about Jake's, but I momentarily forgot. I also did away with the dual. Jake did away with numbers on the nouns really entirely. I just conflated the dual and plural into a lu suffix. And instead of having a full reduplication, only the vowel got affected. And so instead of wayara, it becomes wariya with a long vowel. And so that indicates.
Where's the lu come from?
That comes from sound changes, that I did for vu, because vu originally came from wo rup.
Yeah.
And the only reason we have vu in Woku Tishu is because the W's became V's.
Yeah.
And so mine underwent a different, and also stress affected, because the stress in my language was actually on the roop, because stress was on the heavy syllable. And so instead of woe roop, you know, you get woe whoop. And so that woe drops out and you're left with the, and then the R sometimes became an L depending on situations. So anyway, that's where that came from. And then there were several other, so there were some different ones. Oh, Miles did some interesting things. One thing is that I think, Miles, that you just changed the verb for to sing. Like, I could not, I went through your sound changes and I could not figure out how something like yara became nich. And so I think you changed it. We do have each, which was to squeak. And so, like, I think it has something to do with that. I didn't, I may have missed a note you made. I saw notes you made, Miles, about owl and a few others changing. But, like, I think that just was straight up switched. But what you can see is that iza is a suffix that is for the plural agreement that has nothing to do with reduplication. So nicheza is the form of our singing, and that is not at all reduplication. Throughout, a lot of us chose to do some sort of reduplication. Sisa Languages did some lengthening things that had to do with, like, having a longer vowel, like ja, jafa became jawa for our singing. And then there were some interesting geminate consonant things that happened when glottal stops were deleted at the ends of a previous word. And so chikvu jawa, like, I don't, chikvu jawa. There's like a long
the first sound gets geminated.
Yeah.
Chikvu jawa.
There we, oh, that was so wonderful. You did so much better than I did. And then David, do you just want to read
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Chigi yara. So that's singular. Chigi za yawa. Dual. Chigi vab yawa.
That is so different from our chuki fu jalala.
This was inspired by two things. One, it was to please Jesse. Two, it was inspired by one of my early childhood heroes, which is the kangaroo rat from The Rescuers Down Under.
Nice. Nice.
But you will notice that the reduplication remained. There is a lot of vowel deletion in this. But ra-ra next to each other, because they ended up next to each other, just became W. And so yara becomes yawa.
Love it.
I knew you would.
Love it. For mine, by the way, Bubba and I were the only two that kept the prefixes, or at least kept the prefixes in our forms that we presented. The prefixes for the verbs, sorry, I should have been more specific. The verb agreement prefixes that, were like W-A-W in the proto data, which came out as wa in, modern Woku Tishu. Bubba had a sound change where wa became fa. And so, you know, instead of wajala, Bubba gets fashehla. And so that was through some sound changes. And then mine was, so I get cheugi is my form of mouse, cheugu wayara. Cheugilu wayara is the dual, and then the plural is the same, cheugilu wayara. Wayara, wayara. There we go. I left the R in most cases. It only went to the L in front of a round vowel because I don't like ru very much.
Ooh, what a neat sound change.
And so that was that one. So that was a singular, dual, and plural choice that we had. Another choice was we had the mouse is singing was sentence one, and then sentences four and five where the mouse is singing in the marketplace and the mouse is singing with the rabbit. I specifically chose those two because in the marketplace we had a locative case, and so I was interested in seeing what people did with that. And then with the rabbit as the committative, it was actually an applicative in Woku Tiju, where it got combined with the verb form sort of as a complex prefix. And so with the rabbit is all a prefix on singing as a verb. So I was interested in seeing like what people chose to do. And so in Woku Tiju, we have Juki, Kopi Koku, Jala. So with Kopiko being marketplace,
Kopiko. Wow.
Low tone.
Oh, you're right. Kopiko. Oh my God. Kopiko. Terrible.
And so that was the locative at the end there of Kopiko. And then the committative prefix, Vuete me, Jala, Vuete me, is a prefix on Jala to mean with the rabbit. So the mouse is singing with the rabbit. So of our group, I think a lot of us kept that locative. All of us did. All of us kept the locative. Sound changes changed some of it, but like all of us kept that ku or ko kind of suffix that attached to marketplace.
A big hats off to Miles. I think, I don't know, maybe many of you really wanted to just turn that thing into a velar nasal. I felt like I couldn't justify it. But Miles, you went for it. Proud of you.
So yeah, Miles is what David is pointing out here, is it's kopiko ngu instead of ku. It's ngu. And that is Miles's locative marker. Couple other things. If you look at Jonathan's entry, we get ogobiko. No, not adjective, just aspirated. Ogobiko. And that is because Jonathan chose that compound would be switched. So instead of, because kopiko comes from by cell, kopi by on cell, and you bring it together for kopiko. Jonathan chose to flip it. It's the sell by. Ongobi. And so that became ogobi.
Wow.
Jake decided that the kangaroo rats don't use that word for marketplace at all.
Mm-hmm.
They instead call it the hangang, which means the grab place. And so if you're looking at the data and going, what the heck happened to kopiko to become hangang? It did not happen through sound changes. It happened because they just used a different word altogether. And so I thought those were really delightful, where it's like, you know, what I was really looking at was the locative marker. And yet in looking at it, I'm going, whoa, how did these happen? And in their documents, they did mention those changes. And I just thought that was delightful. Also in the committative, so the several people chose to keep it as a prefix on the verb form. David, Jake, Miles, and me chose to separate it out and kind of treat it like another adposition phrase, a postposition phrase in this case, because the may at the end. And so, you know, what you end up getting is a form for all of them have some sort of may or m form at the end of the word for rabbit to indicate, you know, with the rabbit, and then just what the word actually looks like itself, you know, depends on sound changes. And so for example, so for me, the mouse thing with the rabbit, I get chugi oideme wayara. And then David, do you want to read? So we've already heard your mouse is singing. Do you want
Chegi
to
read? Yara. All right. Chegi kugan ku yara. Chegi bismim yara.
And now I can't unhear the Rescuers Down Under. Like,
That's
that's
right.
absolutely what you were going for. And I can't believe, because I was just looking at this going, wow, David went wild with his vowels. But this is so perfect. This is so perfect.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting, by the way, that Jake was the only one, I think, who specifically, no, Jonathan did too. When it was singing with the rabbit, there was a plural alternation where the verb itself was plural because it's the mouse and the rabbit are singing, basically. And so Jonathan's has that final W, which is because it's plural, with vous de me jawau, for that form. And so all in all, like, it was really cool. The words for rabbit I also really, really loved. So vuite, from its proto forms, WOITE. So woite was the proto form. Sisal languages, we get vuchme, means with the rabbit. Miles, we've got pite meni, with the rabbit. Bubba, we had faeseme.
Ooh.
Jonathan, we had vodeme.
Vödeme.
David, we had this lovely Weissman.
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 Yeah.
God, that's so hard for me to do. Weiss,
It's the Harry
Weissman.
it's the Harry Potter awe, you know, Potter.
Voice.
Weissman.
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 I had Oideme. And then Jake had Buitem. And so that's, I thought that was so delightful. I loved all of this. All right, so another major grammatical feature was, what are you going to do with negation? Because our Wokutiju language had a negating suffix, which was really an F added, but the epenthetic I was also inserted at the end in a lot of cases. So if ended up being the suffix added to negate a verb. But we also did a prefix that was like object incorporation kind of thing. And what got incorporated at the beginning was really dependent on what the verb itself was. So we had like 10 different prefixes for negation, depending on whether it was like eating or moving or sensing or things like that. So here the question was, well, what are we going to do with this as we create language families? And here we are. We have so many things. So in Wokutishu, like, there's so much I want to talk about that my brain just momentarily went blank. In Wokutishu, we have tukisithimi, which means the mouse is eating the barley corn. To negate that, we have tukisithinitsumupi, and that means the mouse is not eating the barley corn. Few things here. The barley corn had to be marked in the ablative because the tsu prefix is technically the object of eating. It's like saying the mouse did not eat a crumb of the barley corn, is kind of more literally what was happening. And then mi, when it took the suffix for negation, it resurrected that coda p, which is not in the word for eat. So mi became mipi,
Maybe.
for that form. All right, so
Speak me.
oh, read Sisal languages.
Speak me.
Isn't
So
it
cute.
so delightful? And so one thing that I thought was really fun was that we all stuck with the ni ablative. We all did. We were all like, this is good. We like it. We also all kept the prefixes from those negation. Jonathan's system was potentially more complicated because Jonathan did make a note that negation had changed, but it did retain two of the prefixes, and they happened to be the two prefixes that were in this data set. So Jonathan's does show similarities with Wokuthishu, the modern forms, but I'd be curious to know what would happen with some other verbs because I do remember Jonathan made a note about that. A couple of things here. Bubba's form has a different suffix from everybody else. So most people have some sort of E or A or just a long vowel kind of thing happening. Jonathan does not have the suffix at all for the negation. But Bubba has Eka, which was actually borrowed from Tpatla. They spent a lot of time with those possums. Mm. And so that's why Bubba's is totally different. David's form, when you added the suffix David, meep ends up losing its vowel.
Yep.
And so I just want you to read both the positive and negative to hear those differences.
Chiggy tsitsi meep, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the positive. And now, let me make sure I get this right. Chiggy tsitsi tumpif.
And so the M becomes a coda for the first syllable and the P, the onset for the second. And me, you know, meep is no longer a full unit there.
Yeah.
And okay, so then I had also mentioned Jonathan did not use the suffix. And so me becomes so me. And so you get that prefix, but nothing happens to the, you know, at the end of the word to mark that negation. But
negation.
Exactly. I do love, though, I was looking at the knee suffix when I said that. Sithi in Wokuthishu came out in Jonathan's language as zidzi. And so zidzi ni, so me. I love that flow is the end of that sentence there.
Jonathan's, by the way, is that's the full, you know, French, what's called Jespersen's cycle or Jespersen's cycle. That is, in Wokuthishu in the old days, negation was simply this F. That's it. And it was, its protoform was negation and it was a suffix. Then it picks up this extra prefix, right? Mm. That's like, you know, don't eat a crumb. And so Jonathan, Wokuthishu is essentially at stage two. It's got both of them. Mm-hmm. It's got the suffix and the prefix. Jonathan is the realization of Jespersen's cycle, the complete loss of the suffix, retaining the prefix, and now the prefix is the only thing to indicate negation.
And another cool thing is here Jake has that intonation shift. Ooh. Positive, we get the rising up. So, tepsi, shishi, meep, versus
tepsi, shishi, meep.
And then the opposite happens.
Tepsi, shishi, ni, chom, meep, e. Hold on a second. Chom, meep, e. Hold on. Tepsi, shishi, ni, chom, meep. It's the purple. Tepsi, shishi, ni, chom, meep, e.
And so the intonation shifts in this, which I thought was really cool. I made a very big and bold grammatical decision. I switched the word order. SOV was the original word order. Mm-hmm. I changed it to SVO. Excuse me. And the major motivation that I had for actually switching the word order in my kangaroo rat language was what you'll see in the final sentences, where I did away with the unnatural case marking. And so instead of having natural and unnatural case markings, both are unmarked and it's just word order. So there are still case markings for like locative, ablative, and things like that. But subject and object are determined by their position in the sentence. And so, yeah, I just decided to make it SVO word order. And so with those prefixes marked still, though, with the, in this case, wau is the prefix for meep because I marked those prefixes. They were obligatory in my language. They are not optional. Teugi wau meep zizi. Is and I'm just adding tone all over the place, even though there is no tone in my language. Means is literally, you know, mouse, and then all the marking agreement, eating the barley corn. And then in the negation side, wow as a prefix becomes wasu because the wa is the subject marker, and then the oo, which was originally from the wow, got overwritten by the su prefix of the negation. And then there was some voicing. So wasumibi is the negated form of doesn't eat. And then sidzini, I kept the ablative there. And so that was that decision? I don't remember what else I was going to say. I have this one more time. I have an extra copy of this slide. But moving on to the next positive and negative pair, we have the owl is boiling water and then the owl is not boiling water. And once again, all of us chose to retain that prefix. And so here, mm-hmm. the only thing I'm highlighting is the fact that we have a as the prefix on the negated form of the verb. So like, doesn't boil a drop of water, kind of what that is. And so mawe natache, the owl boils water in Mukutishu. Mawe natani pechaji is the owl doesn't boil water. And so across the board, again, you see the ni suffix showing up in all of its wonderful variety on nata. And then you see the pe prefix showing up in a lot of variety as well. Miles, you had a note that I wish I understood what you specifically meant. You created a new word for owl, and I think it comes from the verb for to steal.
Merufa.
And I want to know more about this, because it's just sort of this Merufa. Tiny little note in your document where it's like, you give the verb to steal, and then you kind of point to owl, and it's like, that's the new word. So all of us have words like mawe or mave or mavi, mabi. All of us have words like this. And then Miles has mejuha. And I want to know more. Mm-hmm. And so if you make a whole podcast about this, Miles, you and Jake need to have a, let's have a booba discussion, pull Jonathan in too. And you know, let's get some discussion going here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, David, do you want to read yours here?
All right. So we have the positive. Mavinarachai.
Nice.
All right. And then the negative. Mavinanik pifchaif. Hold pifchaif. That was it. Mavinanik. It's really hard to get the I and the E. Mavinanik pifchaif.
God, that's amazing. And then, of course, again with Jake's, we have that tone shift. Bubba and I both had the wa, or in Bubba's case, fa, prefixes for the subject agreement before the pe prefix. And Sisal Linguagist, here in this case, chai is the positive form of to boil. But in the negative form, chai becomes chai. And then... well, with a geminate opening consonant because of some other things going on before it. And so that was cool. I also like that nota became notni for the ablative of water in Sisal Linguagist. I thought that was really wonderful. Yeah. I also liked mave is the word in Jonathan's. It just sounds so lovely, mave. All right.
I'm like, Mavi.
No, I love hearing your language. Like, this is absolutely delightful to me. And I'm so happy that you're here to read it, because that's just amazing. All right. So then the final two sentences were pairs. It was the turtles are stacking cherries versus cherries are stacking turtles. And so David is totally whispering right now because he's practicing his sentences. But what I was trying to target in these two sentences was, what are you going to do with this unnatural case marking where we didn't mark the turtle is stacking cherries, we didn't mark either argument, but when they were flipped around, the cherries are stacking the turtles, it's unexpected. Both of them are marked in the unnatural cases. And that comes out as ini in Wokotishu is the suffix you get. So mini vu is just plural turtles. Mini vuni is unnatural case of plural turtles. Swazake was plural form of cherry. But swazakini is the unnatural case with the plural form of cherries. And so, yeah, just looking to see what people were going to do with this. And so in comparing, again, Jake and I drew a line here. Jake and I were down. We were the two who chose not to do unnatural case marking, but throughout most other people did. Jake, instead of doing case marking, chose to do that intonation shift that we saw in negation. That same downward intonation shift marks the kind of unnaturalness. And so, shosha minia kusos. Gosh, I really wish Jake were reading this.
Shosha kusos. And shosha minia kusos.
Yeah, I love that word, shosha. Shosha. Yeah. So wonderful. And then in mine, it came out as, again, with the changed word order, because that was SVO is my new word order here. Sozage wagozo minilu is the cherries are stacking the turtles. No marking, just in the position that they would be. I am so excited to hear David's, though, because I'm hearing him whisper over here.
Oh, you want me to do it?
I want you to do it.
Oh, goodness gracious. So the natural is, you know, minaiva psyche kuzas. And that's, I was really happy with that minai. So that's the mateis.
I love it.
Diphthong. Minaiva psyche kuzas. And then, so here's the thing. And I think, obviously, we all came across this. If you're just dealing with the protoforms, you end up with something that's quite large. I applaud Bubba for keeping it large. Everybody else kind of shrank it down. Once I realized what it was going to sound like, I was like, no, there's no way I'm reducing this.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Because it's so ridiculous. I was like, hey, you know what? It's marking this thing as unnatural. And so we're just going to keep it. So we'll give this a shot. Cirkenoinic minaivabinic kuzus.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't.
Cirkenoinic minaivabinic kuzus.
You have to leave that. Yep. That's amazing. And so, yeah, Bubba's also was lengthy, where like.
Shenishi. Wait, shenini. Wait, is that just a down or is it a.
It's a down.
So. Shenini versus Buni. That's not too bad.
So yeah, so
it's wonderful.
Sake
Shenini.
And
mini luni mini lupini.
Wow. But everybody else really shortened it. And so like Sisalinguagist, instead of having the ini, we've got sorakni, which I thought was a great sound because soraka was the, or that's really a schwa, not an a, soraka was the plural form of cherries, but sorakni is the unnatural case. And then same with minivu, just became minivni. And I thought I loved how those vowels dropped out and we get sorakni minivni kosa. That was the Sisalinguagist example. In Miles, we've got Soshini, and then Miles, Mni. We've got an MN cluster. Mnivini. Ksu.
Mnivini. Mnivini.
Mnivini.
Mnivini.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Jonathan, I also love the way the zoza came out. Zoza gweni is zoza cherries. Gweni.
Zoza gweni.
Miniwini gozo.
That's good.
Oh.
That's very, it's very woku thishish, you know?
Well, totally not being. Yes.
It's like, yeah, whereas like, I think a lot of us pushed away from it. Certainly I was trying to do that. Jonathan's is really right in the same ballpark. It's very cool.
This is delightful. So yeah, this is where we all landed. It was really neat to see the decisions that we all independently made and how they overlapped in so many ways and yet came out so different across the board, some of which, of course, are simply the result of different sound changes being applied, but so many of them being, you know, layers of decisions that were made across the board. It's also, I'm going to be attaching everyone's work to the episode, and it, again, blew me away. You always do. You patrons are so amazing. The amount of work and attention to detail that so many of you just absolutely throw into all of your work is just so wonderful. Bubba made me laugh, as always. So many puns that I was just like, keep them coming. This is great. It was so much fun to read. And so just, I just want to say thank you to all of you who participated and submitted such wonderful materials, because it was delightful to read. I wish I could like point out so many more things from all of your languages and the development that you did, because it really was quite wonderful. And David, do you have anything to add?
It's just a delight. Just a delight. And our mouse-ish language is very difficult, but it really comes off quite well. I think it's just wonderful.
It is so cool to see.
We got to do a rat language.
We do. And it really is just absolutely cool to see this little family. Right. I don't know. It's so neat to me, because how often do you get to see a conlang family like this that is developed by separate conlangers, not, you know, like a single conlanger coming up with a family, but like this is really all of us independent from each other. I love seeing the results and being able to compare all of them across the board.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything like this since the year 2000, or maybe it was 2001 with the ARDA experiment. That was a fun one. This one's better.
Well, it's the mice. It has right. to be better. All right. Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you all for participating. And some of you had reached out and mentioned you weren't able to participate. I hope, though, that you were still able to enjoy looking at the results. And if you ever decide to just try it out for yourself and see what you would want to do with it, please pop it into Discord. We would love to see it, because this really is just so much fun. So great work out there. Good job, y'all. And we hope you stay grammar, and we look forward to seeing what we come up with for the next podcast episode, because now our little series is over.
Yeah, this is a wonderful idea. Well done, Jess.
Well, thank you. And thank you to the patrons who suggested doing such things. All right. Well, thank you all. We will see you soon. Bye.